to trust the way God tells us to trust. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to Sunday night, July 23rd. It is a night I have been looking forward to for a long time, because on the 23rd, we return to the journey. We were on the journey together last fall and into the spring, and then we've been doing other things for a couple of months now. We've done Andy, and we've done mission trips, and we've had Sunday nights off, holidays, but the 23rd, we're going to return to the journey. And God's going to bless us. This is one of the best discipling tools I've ever found. And I hope if you've not been part of the journey up to this point, that you'll come and be a part of it, because you don't have to know what's going on before to jump into what is going next. Because now we're going to talk about living out the journey of walking with Jesus. And I hope you'll be here and make your plans to be part of that. God's got a lot of things in store for us in the next few months, and we're just really looking forward to all of the things God's giving us a chance to do. But now let's jump into our passage for today. There came this point where Jesus' disciples came to him. He had been away all night, as had happened so many times. And while they were eating and they were sleeping, he had gone apart by himself, and he had spent the night with his Father in prayer. They had seen it happen time and time and time again. And finally they came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Because we've seen what's happening in your life. Because we recognize there is a quality of faith that is in you that we know nothing about. Because you speak about God and you speak about him as though he were right there in the room with you. We see things happen because of your prayers. Lord, teach us to pray." Now what makes that especially unique is this, and that is the only thing they ever asked Jesus to do. They never said, "Lord, teach us to heal. Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to do miracles. Lord, teach us all of these things that we see you doing constantly." All they said was, "Lord, teach us to pray." It's almost as though they realized this is the central reality. This is the most important thing about Jesus and who he is in our lives. "Lord, teach us to pray. Show us how to know God the way that you know God." Because these disciples came from a whole different approach toward the Lord. They came from an approach toward the Lord that basically said, "God is hiding from you. God has special secrets that only a few understand. God wants people to have to struggle and work and earn their way into his approval before he'll begin to listen. God only reveals himself to a few." And then they heard Jesus, and Jesus talked about the Lord as though he were right there with him. He talked about him and he called him "my Father," and nobody had ever said that before. And he showed them a whole new way of knowing God. And that's where I want us to begin. Before we can begin to talk about how can I learn to pray, we've got to ask the most important question, which is, how can I know God? How can I know God? Well, you know, back in January, I walked through the gospel with you. Sunday by Sunday, we walked through the Roman road and we talked about how to be saved. But I want to talk about something a little bit deeper than that. I want to talk about, now once you're saved, how can you know God? How can you know God in a real way, in a personal way? How can you know God the way God wants to be known? Because the Bible tells us God is not hiding from us. He wants to be found. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." This morning, if you're here and you're thinking, "God's a long way off. I can't know God very well. God's not very personal. God keeps his place way out there somewhere, but I have my place right here, and I don't think you can really get to know God." You need to understand, the Bible says to you, seek the Lord while he may be found. God wants you to find him. Well, how do you find the Lord? The Bible says, by approaching him with a seeking heart, seek the Lord while he may be found. There are those times in your life when you are ready to seek the Lord. In those times when he begins to move you toward salvation. In those times when you begin to realize that truth I've heard all my life, it's about me. God doesn't want to save us. He wants to save me. Personally, me. Specifically, me. And in those times, you seek the Lord. Sometimes you're ready to seek the Lord when you go through a critical time in your life. You know, one of those times when you're just about overwhelmed, when you feel like you're going under for the last time, and you don't know where to turn, and you need somebody to help you, and you seek the Lord. Sometimes you're ready to seek the Lord when you realize, I used to be close to him, but now I've drifted. I'm not nearly where I ought to be. I'm a long way from what Christ wants me to be. I am not the person that he's called me to be. I don't know him the way I used to know him. I need to seek him. And most of all, there are those times in your life when you have a gnawing, heart-deep hunger to know God. Not in a superficial way, but in a deep, personal, real way. It's almost as though there's that hole deep inside, and you just want him to fill it. I want to know the Lord. So this morning, I want to talk to you from our passage in Proverbs about three ways you can seek and find the Lord. And the first one seems far too simple. It is simply this. You seek the Lord through his word. Sometimes when you're seeking something, you overlook the most obvious places. Sometimes when you lose something, you cannot figure out where on earth it is, and it's the most obvious way possible. Maybe you've lost your wallet at some time. Maybe you've lost your keys. Maybe you've been in a parking lot, and you can't remember where you put your car. One of the things that I've dealt with over and over again have been those times when I misplaced my glasses. I don't have to worry about that this morning because they're stuck right inside my eyeballs. But in those times when I'm wearing my glasses, Chris, like you're wearing, and we're glad y'all are back. That looks good. Chris and Angela are back with us this morning, and they look like proud parents. We're so excited. I've lost my glasses. I lost my way just then. I lost my glasses. You know what? Have you ever done that? You know, and I look on the table and it's not there. And I look in another room and it's not there. And I look all around and it's not there. And I even go out in the car and look and they're not there. And I'm wondering, how am I going to find my glasses? And I kind of run out of answers and I reach up to scratch my head. And there they are. Sometimes you forget to look in the most obvious places. Sometimes we make the search for God way too complicated. You think there has to be some deep new discovery. There has to be some great emotional experience. There has to be some sudden revelation from God. Somehow you've got to find it in a way you've never found it before. But Proverbs reminds us that one of the best places to search for him is just within your reach. It's in his word. Verse 1 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. And that's the key to rich Bible study. You don't have to come to Scripture looking for information about God. You come to Scripture looking for God. You're not looking for facts that you can understand. You're looking for an encounter with the living God, the one who has said, I will reveal myself to you. I will reveal myself to you in my word. And isn't it a wonderful thing as believers to know we don't have to search around trying to find somebody who can give us some sort of spiritual truth. We don't have to look for some kind of revelation that you can't find anywhere else. God has given us his truth. He's given us his truth in this book. It's all here. All of this is his truth. What do? I seek for God in His Word. What does Proverbs say? It says, my words, my commands. The Bible tells us who God is. We don't have to wonder. He tells us who He is. The Bible tells us what matters to Him. The Bible tells us how much He loves us. The Bible tells us how we can know Him. All we've got to do is seek it out in His Word. So how do you seek and find God in His Word? Well, you read believing that God is speaking. You read expecting a word from God. You read with a surrendered spirit. You read believing God is going to reveal Himself to me. I can find Him in His Word. I remember hearing somebody say one time, I begin by reading the Bible, but I finish with the Bible reading me. That is, God begins to examine my heart, my life, my spirit, because I'm exposing myself to His Word. And the more you seek to know the Word, the more you get to know the author. And one of the things we need to know when we look for God, when we pray to God, when we seek our Lord, is genuine prayer is always scripturally consistent. One of the reasons that people get so frustrated in their prayer life is because too many times we are praying for things, asking for things, seeking answers, seeking truth, seeking gifts, and all of these things we're asking for are not consistent with Scripture. We're asking for things that God's already told us not to ask for. We're neglecting things God has told us ought to be priorities in our lives. We are seeking to impose our will on the Lord rather than vice versa. Remember this, genuine prayer is always scripturally consistent. When I am praying, if I am praying the way God wants me to pray, I am praying according to what He has shown me in His Word. Seek the Lord through His Word. Then the second thing, seek the Lord by listening to His Holy Spirit. When you know the Lord, you're ready to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Listen how Proverbs continues. It says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. What is the Bible describing? Someone who is committed to actively listening to the Holy Spirit. One of the things you'll discover when you read Proverbs and through the Old Testament is so many times Solomon and the other writers of Scripture will talk about wisdom and refer to wisdom in personal terms. Why is that? Because so many times in the Old Testament, when you hear the phrase wisdom, what you're really hearing is the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit at work in the lives of people. And so when Proverbs says, incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, what it's really saying is, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to what God is saying deep inside of your heart? Solomon is giving us the description of a discerning heart. And this arises from a conviction. God is speaking to me personally through His Holy Spirit, and I need to be listening. God is speaking to me personally through His Holy Spirit. Now, how does that work? Sometimes when you're reading Scripture, that's exactly what He does. You read a passage, I read the same passage. God says this to you, God says that to me. He speaks to both of us truthfully, but He meets us at our very point of need. And that's where He speaks. How do you grow a discerning heart? There are two spiritual practices that can help you hear what God is saying to you. The first practice is stillness. Stillness. Sometimes you just have to take time to listen. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and wait. I want you to know that I was abandoned by my family while I was at the beach last week. completely abandoned. Well, for about 30 minutes, and then my daughter-in-law came back to be where I was. You see, my family chartered a boat to go deep sea fishing. And I said, y'all go right ahead. I'll be here on the beach when you get back. I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a fisherman for the same reason I'm not a hunter. And you know why that is? Because I can't be still. The idea of sitting somewhere and holding something for the next 30 minutes because something might possibly, just probably, might happen. No, thank you. The only time I've ever enjoyed fishing in my life was when we lived in Aliceville, and we had this big pond behind our house, and I would take my kids down there to go fishing, and they would throw their lines in the water, and I would open up my chair and read my book, and everybody was happy. I don't like being still. Do you? How many times have you found yourself caught in gridlock on the interstate in Birmingham? And said to yourself, I am so grateful to have a few moments just to be still by myself. There's something in us that resists the discipline of stillness. And yet Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. The Bible says Elijah heard God speak, and he spoke as in a still, small voice. We live in a world that is full of noise and activity. We hate to wait, even for fast food. We have to choose to be still. We need to take time to listen to what God is saying through His Holy Spirit. Because here's what you need to remember. The Lord never competes for your attention. He waits for it. He doesn't compete. He waits. And if you're not listening, He's not talking. Because there's no point in it. Therefore, the Lord will wait that He may bless you. That's what the Bible says. But you got to get still. Stillness takes time. It's not that He's not speaking. It's that we're not ready to hear. So He's waiting to talk. In stillness, you're really trying to discover the answer to two questions. The first one is this: what is the Lord saying to me? And the second one is, what is God doing through the circumstances of my life? How can I find meaning in what's going on right now? Stillness. How do you practice stillness? The answer is simple. It's one word. Discipline. Discipline. Nobody will ever be instinctively still. You have to make yourself be still. Every morning, my back porch, I meet with God. I'm out there on the porch. Guess what I have disciplined myself to leave in the house? My telephone. If you need to call me while I'm talking with God, leave a message. I'll get back to you. Be still. And then the second practice is that practice of prayer. Not prayer as a request list, not prayer as a formality, not prayer as an obligation, but prayer as a conversation. The best way to begin praying effectively is to ask a simple question. What would I say to Jesus if I could meet Him right here, right now, face to face? If I could just tell Him what's on my mind and in my heart. Because He's with you and He's ready. So you say what you want to. But then you listen to his reply. Too many times we're busy telling and then we're leaving and we're not listening. He'll speak to you through his Holy Spirit, giving guidance, encouragement, direction, conviction, empowerment, or peace. He will meet you at your point of need. He will reveal himself in his own way and in his own time. But until he does, you wait, knowing that God is at work in you. This is what I know. Because the Holy Spirit is God, you will know it is him when he responds to your prayers. So seek the Lord through patience and prayer. Then you need to know that you'll find the Lord when you seek Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says before you can hope to find God's will for your life, there's one condition that must be met, and that is that seeking and knowing Jesus Christ must be the single greatest priority of your life. This is how Proverbs says it. It says, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, if you seek as though it is the most important thing in the world. Here's the thing you need to know about the Lord. He is not willing to share first place. Instead, you search for God like you search for treasure. And nobody ever goes treasure hunting casually. It's not a no-risk proposition. Treasure hunting is a single-minded pursuit. About 40 years ago, a marine biologist named Robert Ballard discovered he had a passion, a burning passion in his life, and that was that he wanted to find and salvage the Titanic, the wreckage of the Titanic, even though it was 2 miles below in the Atlantic, even though the technology for doing exploration that was that deep in the water did not exist at the time that he began his search. So he joined with other people and he created a whole new field of underwater exploration. And they created the technology that they could not acquire. And in 1985, he was rewarded when he discovered the Titanic on the ocean floor and was able to be part of salvaging the artifacts that probably many of you have seen since then. For almost 100 years they had laid there. He did what he had to do to accomplish what he had set out to accomplish. If a person can be that passionate about discovering treasure, how committed are we supposed to be about knowing and following the Lord Jesus Christ? It calls for a single-minded pursuit. Jesus himself said that was true. What did he say the kingdom of God was like? A pearl of great price, a treasure hidden in a field, that thing that you will give everything away in order to acquire. That's what the kingdom is like, he said. Too many people believe that when it comes to the Lord, minimum effort should bring about maximum results. That God is so desperate for people to just believe in him, he will promise anything just to get your attention. That's not what the Lord says. The Lord says it is possible to know and follow Jesus, but it will cost you everything you are to follow him. You can't say Jesus and all of these other things. It has to be Jesus first. And then everything else finds its place. Here's the promise from the Word of God. If you search for God through his Word, if you listen to what he's saying, if the pursuit of God is your life's passion, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is it saying to us? It's simply saying this. God is not hiding from you, but finding him requires everything. You will never find him if you seek casually. You will never find him if you seek half-heartedly. You will never find him when other things are distracting your attention. But when it becomes the most important thing in your life, you will find him. Long ago, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And he taught them a prayer that basically says, when you put God where he belongs, then He will direct your life and He'll put everything in order just the way it ought to be. Because that's His promise. When you trust Him, He'll put your life in order and make it everything it ought to be. So let me ask you this morning, how are things going in your life, I mean? Is there harmony, hope, purpose? Is there confusion, chaos, disappointment? Let me ask another question. So where is Christ in your life? If you're lost, then you don't know Him at all. You've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. And today you need to do that. Before you leave this room, you need to do that. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. And you can come forward and I'll be here and Rich will be here. And we both would love to meet you at this place and introduce you to a Savior. And maybe today's the day you need to come to be saved. Maybe you're here as a believer. But you're saying, you know, everything's kind of gotten out of whack in my life. And spiritually, I've allowed everything in the world to distract me. It's time to put Him back where He belongs. And maybe you need to make a public commitment to do that. Or maybe you're here and you need a place where you can follow Jesus and where you can grow and where you can be in fellowship. You need a church to belong to that's going to love you and accept you. Maybe this is the church and God's calling you here. And today you need to come and you need to plant your membership here so that this can become your spiritual home. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe God's been dealing with you and you just need to answer. In a moment when we stand, when we sing, this is your chance. These aisles are for you. We'll be here to meet you. We would love to pray with you and help you. Do you need to come today? Let's stand together. Let's sing. You come.